Welcome to the Super Gamer Podcast. Welcome to the new Super Gamer Podcast, episode 169. Our guest this week, full transparency, there's a bit of a family connection, not directly, but friend of family, I guess. But our guest this week has just made their first card game, and it is about Ireland, and I like pretty much anything about Ireland. But our guest is Moya Sands. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Mark. Thanks very much for having me.
So yeah, you made you established a company for this, and you made Happy Families Exploring Ireland. The company is Happy Clan Games. Happy Families, though, I guess is an old card game from the 1800s sometime. I was unfamiliar with it, but you've turned it into an Ireland specific thing. Can you kind of walk us through how this all started?
Yes, of course. Indeed, it is. It's a pretty old game, I suppose you could call it a traditional game at this stage. I think it was first created by a man called John Jack in 1851. He was also credited with popularizing other games that we're familiar with, like Ludo, Snakes and Ladders, and Tiddlywinks. But anyhow, yeah, so this game, Happy Families, it's not popular or well known in Ireland or the UK at all, but in France, for some reason, it's played quite a lot. And I'm half French. My mum is from France, and we used to spend all of our summers with our family there, my grandparents, and I remember my grandmother playing a version of this Happy Families game with us, and all of the cousins getting together in the afternoons in the garden and playing this game. And it was something that I remember was always easy to learn, but a lot of fun. You know, we could play the game for hours and hours. And I suppose it was probably during lockdown, the lockdowns here anyway, we weren't allowed to leave the house at all. And the kids were home from school. And I think probably like so many other parents, we were racking our brains trying to find ways of entertaining them. And so we started digging out old board games and card games that we had lying around the house. And I realized that my kids loved card games as much as I did. So I thought, all right, this is a great option. Let's try and dig out all of the old games and find all of the, you know, the options of playing together. And also I think we're at an age at the moment where we're in constant competition with screens and with devices, and we're always, as parents, I don't think we're the only ones, but we're always looking for ways of entertaining the kids that don't involve grabbing the remote control and turning on the computer. And we think that kind of sitting down and playing a game together is how kids learn about the world around them and how they learn about themselves and about each other. And we feel it's kind of as important to healthy development as learning to love reading or eating well, you know, eating your five fruits and vegetables a day or doing enough exercise and getting enough sleep. And so we want to really kind of enforce this alternative type of entertainment, as you could call it now, things that you can do at home, things that you can do in the park, bring to the beach or wherever you go. And so our communal love of playing cards came about from that.
And you have your background is, you're a musician as well, but you're also a teacher. So I believe you've said before that kids, you kind of alluded to it there, kids learn better when they're having fun.
Oh, absolutely. My God, you can see the difference. The difference is instantaneous, really. Teaching kids, you know, there's only so much you can do before they, you know, they'll get a bit fed up, they'll look for other ways of entertaining themselves. But as soon as you put a game into the mix, it's amazing how fast they pick up grammatical structures or new vocabulary. And with this in mind, I wanted to find a way to teach my own kids through play. You know, they always learn much faster and they have so much more fun. And as I mentioned before, during lockdown, I don't live in Ireland anymore. I live in Spain now. And during lockdown, like many people, we couldn't get home for almost 2 years. And it was hard on me because obviously I miss my home and my family and my friends. But I think I missed more the impact that going home had on my kids. And maybe your dad can relate to this, Mark, but I think it's always been very important for me to pass on the sense of pride and love in my country to my kids so that they can share that identity and culture with me. They live here in Spain. We live in Barcelona, in Catalonia, and they go to school here, and I love it. They come home singing songs in Catalan and learning about the mythological stories and the traditions from here. But it's as important for me that they learn the rich culture that we have in Ireland too, because it's immense. There's so much about Ireland that people around the world can learn from, you know? And it was important for me to pass this on to them when we couldn't get home.
Right. There really is a lot to, there's a lot going on as far as Irish culture and mythology and all that. The last time I was there, my dad, I think we were there for 2 weeks, and I swear we must have seen 100 different, you know, landmarks, whatnot. And we would just have enough time to get there, and he'd be like, "Oh, this is Giant's Causeway. Okay, back in the van, go."
Run on to the next one.
Yeah. But speaking of traditions and mythology and that, so the Happy Families, the game is kind of like Go Fish. You collect families. There's seven of them in this iteration. And six cards in each, and if you get all six of a family, you declare family, and you put it down, you get to keep those cards. Person at the end with the most families wins. So the seven for exploring Ireland are cities, landmarks, food, traditions, music, mythology, and symbols. So the first thing, we were just talking about how many cultural things there are in Ireland. How did you narrow it down to these cards, to what represents Ireland, and was there anything that just had to be left out that you wanted to include?
Oh my God, brilliant question. And yes, so much. I feel like I could make another three games on everything that I left out. Yes, it wasn't easy, and there were a lot of iterations and a lot of opinions asked. And yes, there's so many things that I felt I was trying to find a way to bring everything together. I would have loved to have included more Irish feasts, Irish sports. I wanted to find a way to include family just with Irish sports, but then that weighed it up with wanting to include other things as well. So for example, in the traditions family, I have Gaelic football. And I have camogie. I have those two sports, but I wanted to include hurling, which is a very important, very ancient and an amazing sport as well. And here I opted for camogie as opposed to hurling. Camogie is very similar to hurling, except it's played by girls, by women. And there was a conscious decision for this because I wanted to include females in sport, which I don't think it is seen enough, and I felt that was very important for girls and boys to see women in sports. But also there is a hurley bat. There's a hurley stick mentioned elsewhere in the game. In the mythology family, for example, I have various mythological characters or stories, and one of the cards is of Cú Chulainn, and he was a famous warrior in Celtic mythology, and he was a wonderful hurling player. And so in the illustration of Cú Chulainn in the mythology family, we can see him hitting the ball with the hurley bat. And so that was important to include there. But also for those of you who aren't familiar with all of the aspects of Irish culture that are included here in the game, there's also a little booklet with the game, which I felt was important to include because it has a little paragraph written with kind of behind information about each card, just in case you're wondering, what on earth is that? I've never seen nor heard, or I have no clue what this could be. So you just pick up the booklet and you can have a look in it there. And it gives you a little bit of information about it.
And that did happen with me with Komogi, actually, because we saw the card. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's hurling. I don't know what's going on here. I read it. I was like, oh, okay, neat.
Yeah, very good. Well, there you go. I'm glad. So a little bit of information was passed on.
Yeah, well, I played with my friends, and we at first didn't... Like, it's a simple game to play. It's a cliche, but it's a simple game to play, but, you know, difficult to master. And certainly, when we first started, we didn't fully get the strategy. We kind of realized, well, hold on, you just asked for these cards, you know, in Go Fish style. Now I know you have them, and when it gets back to my turn, I'm just going to take them back. But then we realized as we went on, like, as the game got closer to the end, we were like, oh... Well, now I know you've got three of this family, and I know you have one, but I don't know which one, right? Now, do I want to risk asking for it? And then you all know what cards I have. So, yeah. It was fun.
Well, exactly. And I think that's where the fun element comes into the game, isn't it? You know, there's a particular kind of relish in stealing all the cards back from someone who has just taken them from you, or someone who stole them from somebody else in the game right under your nose. You know, you can take them all back. And that's where the fun part comes in. That's where there's a bit of banter and friendly teasing or great crack, as we would say.
Mm-hmm. I had to keep myself in check I knew my friends did not want me to be like, oh, I've been there and this is this. But I did tell them, though, I hate soda bread. I cannot stand it.
No, Ock Mark.
I know, I'm sorry.
How could you say that?
Last we went down there, I think we had fried soda bread at breakfast every day, and I was like, ugh.
Well, there's a different way. You could toast it as well. It doesn't have to be fried every morning. but with a bit of butter on it, Irish butter, cheese, jam, ham, bacon, anything you want. Ox, soda bread. Doesn't fail in our house. I'll tell you that. maybe we just don't get it enough.
Oh, maybe. I will say, before we continue with the game and that, Newgrange, I was so happy to see in there, because that is a place I've been and I loved. That's such a cool place to visit. Anybody who gets a chance should check out Newgrange. And I think it's a lotto online. If you do get a chance to go, I want to say the winter solstice, it is designed when it was designed, you know, way back when, the sun hits it in such a way that it illuminates the entire inside. So...
It does. It's fascinating, and it's such a beautiful site as well. And you know, it's a UNESCO heritage site too.
Right.
Yeah, as is the Giant's Causeway, which is also in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you were there as well.
I was, yes, and I'm sure it's just one of those like stories get jumbled as they go along generations, but the version I heard was slightly different than the one that is in the booklet, and I fully believe that yours is right. but yeah, I'm pretty sure
maybe at this stage it's all a matter of opinion.
I think my dad had told me something like it was two giants like throwing stones at each other.
Okay, so that, yes, indeed. The two giants did throw stones at each other, but that was somewhere else.
That was in
Rustrever.
Okay.
That's where I'm from, actually, in County Down. They did. That was Finn McCool, the same giant who's responsible for building the Giant's Causeway. He was out on the Cooley Mountains, which are in Carlingford in Louth, which is just across the border and across the loch from Rustrever in County Down. And Finn McCool was out there hunting boar, probably. Why not? And having a wee rest after cooking up a great boar for dinner. Next thing, the clouds go, the sky goes dark, and what appears in front of him is another giant, the ice giant. He says, I'm the giant of darkness and of ice. And he challenged him to a fight. And Finn McCool says, well, anyone who challenges me to a fight will get a fight. So they started to fight, and they used swords and they used clubs. And on the third day, they started to throw stones at each other. So stones so big that the whole earth was trembling. And they were so tired that I think after the third night, they decided to have a wee rest. And they went down for a sleep. And the giant of ice came over and he stole Finn's sword or his weapons. Finn was not happy with this at all. And when he woke up, he picked up the biggest rock that he could find on the Cooley Mountains and he hurled it across the loch to the ice giant who was on the other side. And it flattened him and he melted away. That was the end of the ice giant. And that rock is still on that mountain to this day. It's called the Clochmore Stone or the Big Stone.
Oh.
And it's a beautiful place to go. It's a beautiful walk up through the forest up to the top of the mountain from Rhystrever. And once you get up to the top where the Clochmore Stone is, you've got incredible views over the whole of the Carlingford Loch and the Cooley Mountains. In fact, you can see across the sea to Finn McCool, who's still lying there after that huge effort of throwing the stone across the mountain. He had a little snooze again, well deserved, and he lay down. And you can still see his silhouette across the top of the Cooley Mountains from Rhystrever.
Cool. Finn McCool, he fought a lot of giants.
Oh, he did, yeah. he was the leader of the Fëanor. He was one of the greatest heroes in Irish mythology.
I thank you for that. I apologize. I must have conflated. I have been to Giant's Causeway, but I must have been there as well and conflated the stories.
Yeah, well, it's not far from Newry. It's just down the road. So I'm sure you probably were. And it's a beautiful, beautiful area. Not to boast.
So this being your first game and you've made a company for it and everything, you know, is there, I know this is pretty new, you just released it a couple months ago, but
that's right.
You know, anything you're thinking already down the road, you're going to make more games?
Oh, I would love to. Yes, more card games and puzzles as well. They're all on my list of ideas that I would love to make and to get out there. You know, with this game, when I was testing it with my kids, because it's them that I made it for, really, it was for our own family that I made it. And then I saw that friends of mine who played with us really enjoyed it and they wanted to know more. And so that's when I decided to properly get it out there. But yeah, like after they played it with me and we finally got back to Ireland and I saw how the kids were walking around and said, oh, I just saw a Celtic cross. Oh, that person had a St. Bridget's cross in their house. And oh, I really want to try soda bread. Sorry. Or I really want to try box tea. Or look at those Ilian pipes. And I really want to visit the Titanic Museum. You know, all of these things, it just built up the excitement for them and the interest and the knowledge as well. And I hope that not just for them, but other people who might be preparing a trip to Ireland or who just fancy knowing more about it and exploring it from their living room, that they would be interested in it too. You know, I've seen so much interest in the game already that I think that I would love to continue making more.
And that was my next question is, you know, since how's the commercial response been? I know you've been covered in several Irish papers, but yeah, especially, you know, people maybe outside of the Irish sphere, like you say, someone who's never been, are they interested in the game?
Well, yes, actually. Well, I've had an awful lot of interest in Ireland itself. More in Ireland than I had actually expected, but it's absolutely wonderful. And among teachers in Irish schools as well, that's been huge, and that's been really wonderful. You know, I think you probably know there's, I don't know how many millions of Irish people around the world claim Irish identity.
Mm-hmm.
I think nearly everybody knows at least somebody who has come from Ireland this generation or five generations ago. So there's usually always a connection. And then those people who perhaps didn't know anything about Irish culture before they say, oh, will you make one on Poland? Will you make one on India? Will you make one on South Africa? So that's really nice to hear that they have been able to enjoy and appreciate the game and, you know, learn a little bit more about another culture, and in turn that is perhaps giving them more interest in their own culture too.
What was the excitement like when you got your first online review? You got reviewed by The Lucky Roll, and, you know, a glowing review too.
Ah, yes, yes, they're fantastic. Oh, that was, you can imagine what that was like. That was very, very exciting. That was really great to get a review from them, and such a positive one too. Especially them, as you know, as board gamers like yourself, you know, you're probably used to games that are a little bit more complicated to learn. But the good thing about this one is that as the mechanics are simple and straightforward, you know, it's good for 5-year-olds as it is for 105-year-olds. It's the fun and the banter and the little memories that are created when you play, especially intergenerationally.
Making the game, releasing the game, where are you at now? How does this excitement compare to you having played music at Madison Square Garden?
Ah! Well, indeed. Madison Square Garden, that was, I think that's still kind of a up there, like in a dreamlike state. That was an incredible, in kind of out of body experience almost, to play there in front of all those people with all of those other incredible musicians. You know, it was a birthday party for Pete Seeger. I think it was his 92nd birthday party. And Bruce Springsteen was there. Annie DeFranco, Joan Baez, Peggy Seeger, Tom Morello. Oh my goodness. I can't even think of all of the amazing musicians that were there. That was incredible. But so there I played with my brother Fanon and my dad, Tommy Sands. And that was, I'm not sure how else to describe it, but it was a kind of an out of world experience. This is a much smaller project in comparison, but the excitement is almost the same, especially receiving reviews that people like it and they're happy with it and they're learning from it, which was the goal of the game.
What was the most unexpected part? Because this is kind of a new world for you. What was unexpected about making it? What did you? Was there anything you're like, this is way more hard than I thought it would be? This is way more rewarding than I thought it would be?
Everything. Everything was new. Absolutely every week is new since I started this. Well, I think the fun part was getting it all together, was creating it. Well, one of the many fun parts, I suppose, was deciding which families to do, which cards to include. And I worked with an incredible illustrator, Marietta Gall. She's unbelievable. I would give her ideas and a whole list of things to include in a card. And she'd come back and she just made exactly what I had in my mind. And that was really incredible to see. With my own eyes after all the thought put into it. And with these cards, I was kind of very aware also of, although it was aimed for kids, I didn't want the images to be too childlike. I wanted them to be more open and accessible to all ages, not just because I wanted older people to enjoy it as well, but also because I think that kids don't necessarily always need to see cartoon images to appreciate them. And that was one of the really fun parts, to see the illustrations and to see them come to life and to see the cards being put together. And then, of course, getting them in my hand, you can imagine what that was like, and I'm sure it is for all people who make something, whether it's a CD and you finally get the CD and the box in your hand after months and months of preparing and recording and making it. It was the same with this card game.
when your kids saw it, like, are they young enough where they're like, wow, you're a rock star now?
Well, I'm not sure about the rock star part, but
I mean, you are actually a rock star, but
the 9-year-old is certainly old enough to appreciate all and to have seen all the work that went into it, and to enjoy the game now that it's arrived. And he does love playing it with his friends, and his friends come to the house and say, come on, let's have a game of Happy Families Exploring Ireland. And yeah, so that's really cool. And when friends come to the house, they also want to play. And all my friends have copies now. And so when we get together, the game always comes out.
Do you have any plans to take the game to, like, conventions or anything like that?
Yes, I am looking into that. I don't have anything set in stone yet, but I'm looking at all possibilities and all options at the moment.
And what about, I think, when you open the box, there's a note there that basically says, like, hey, if you have any suggestions or comments, you know, send them my way. Has anyone done that?
Yep. Apart from wanting games on their own countries and other countries. nope, that's about it. That's about it. They love it, but they want me to make other ones.
Well, that's a good one to get. We want more.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. There was a wee girl who told me, my best friend is from Germany. I want to know more about her country. Can you please make one in Germany so that we can play together? And that was very sweet. You know, it's interesting. I've played in Canada quite a few times and in North America, United States, and various other places sharing Irish traditional music. And it was very interesting to me to realize just how many people in the rest of the world are fascinated and interested in all things Irish. Not just the music, but the, you know, the story and the legend and the lore. And they were always interested in knowing the background or the story behind a song or a tune that we were playing. And I think that that's something that you come to understand if you live away from your home country. Like, since I've been living away from Ireland, it's a yearning and a need and a want to learn more about my own country in order to pass it on to my children. I'm not sure if it's a parent thing or if it's a living away from home thing, but it's something that I felt when I met all of these people when I was traveling that I now understand now.
Well, I think you've, as far as people wanting to know more about Ireland, I think you've proven on this show that Irish people are very good storytellers, so I think it's just fun to hear an Irish person talk.
Well, I remember hearing that a few times too, you know. And you know, some people here, they tell me, oh, you've got an Irish, that's definitely an Irish accent. And I says, yeah, but it's a very watered down Irish accent. It always gets much stronger when I get home.
Oh yeah, I always laugh. Friends of mine will say, oh, your dad, I can barely understand him. And I'm like, he barely has an accent. He's been here for, like, you know, 50 years, more than that. Like, you should, we'll go to Dublin and tell me if you understand them.
Oh, you know, my cousin married an English fella. And they were living in England for a while, and they went home to Ireland for the weekend, and they were just walking down the street and bumped into a friend of my cousin's, and they stopped and they were chatting for a while, and then they walked on, and my cousin's husband, the English fella, said, oh my God, I didn't know that you understood Irish. I didn't know you spoke Irish. My cousin said, what are you talking about? That was English. He said, what? Where are they from? She said, just 5 minutes down the road. So you don't have to go too far to come across accents that, you know, you might struggle to understand. But
definitely.
I think that's a great one.
Well, the game is Happy Families Exploring Ireland. The company is Happy Clan Games, and you can find them at happy-clan.com. Anything else you want people to know about this before we sign off here?
I'm also on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, on TikTok. You can find me there too, happyclan_games.
Moya Sands, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.